Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from this week's special guest.
Well, good morning, Bethel. Good morning, Bethel Online. We're so glad you're here for this day, because today is the day I get to introduce a really good friend, a charter member, the owner of Augusta Ranch Golf Course, the newly elected secretary of the PGA, a great father, husband, and really good friend. But before I do, and before you give the awesome Bethel welcome to him, I wanted to share a passage just to kind of set him up. And he needs really no setup, but I thought I would anyway, to toss it up to him. Jeremiah 29:11. It's one of many people's favorite verses. But this week, the Lord had me read further, which I think is really important, even with what my friend is going to share today, as he's going to be sharing for the first time a full sermon with you today. And it won't be his last time, but Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, so many times we stop there. And that's an awesome promise, isn't it? But it doesn't stop there. In fact, the real conditions of the fulfillment of those plans and purposes follow it. In verse 12, it says, then when you know this, when you know I have these awesome plans for you and you have hope for those things, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Well, this testimony you're about to hear, this life you're about to experience, is a life that God had plans that were full of hope and a future. But there was a battle to see that breakthrough in his life. And as we've been walking together in covenant for 12 years, we've known each other for 15. But for 12 years, we've been walking together, and we've been knocked down a few times over those 12 years. But as you saw in the sermon intro, we don't quit. We don't give up, because our God, our King, our Lord didn't quit for us. Amen. And because of that victory, we can walk in that victory, and we can get up, and we can experience the breakthrough, because 2021 is going to be a year of greater breakthrough. So give it up for Don Ray as he comes today. Come on, Bethel. Come on, baby.
Appreciate it. Thank you. You know, as a former umpire, you never get applause. There's no doubt about that. But I will tell you, thank goodness Mike Gowans loves free golf, or else Mike McCann wouldn't have brought him out there and we might have never met. I didn't know this was going to happen. I am overwhelmed a little bit to be here today and just to testify, right? To give my testimony. I was tested. I've been tested. But today is the day, right, that I'm gonna try to passionately reach you, which means I need to preach to you a little bit. So just let's pray it in right away, because in my small group, I always forget to pray a sin. I'm like 15 minutes into the small group, and I'm like, oh, man, I forgot. Did you ever do that, Cruz? Well, not today, Cruz. Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity today for me to look on this fertile soil, Because I truly believe as a golfer, as someone who grows grass for a living, that we are going to plant some seeds today. But this crop today, Father, are going to be mustard seeds. These little small mustard seeds that are amazing plants that they can move mountains if you've got faith like it. Father, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to believe in you. God, we want to hear you today. Father, give me the peace. Give me the pleasure of just being able to stand on this stage today because it is not a mistake. This was predestined, man. It's crazy to think about it. I pray all of these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, first slide. So this scripture, I wanted to open with this because I used to mess this up a little bit. Because I was like, man, God's given me some, even after I was saved, I was an atheist until 2008. But I would read this scripture and I'm like, yeah, that's right, man. I can do all things through Christ. Man, look at me. It's up to me and I can do it. God's given me the talents. But I kept forgetting that it's through his strength that I can do those things. And so that's when stress would just get on me because I was thinking, man, it's too heavy, you know, but it's and not my strength. That's right. As you could tell, I don't lift much. But I don't need to because I got JC. Yeah. He's a power lifter. He is a power lifter. All right, so most of you may be using your phones. I got my Bible. It's old. This is the one you gave me. Did you know that? This is the first Bible you gave me. Yeah, it's beat up because I had to open it up a lot. But right now, maybe you're on your phones. I know you're going to quiet them or you're going to turn them off. And good. I think I appreciate that. But I would say, you know, when you turn down your phone or you turn off your phone, those waves are still going around you, right? These 5G waves that we're trying to get. So just because you turn your phone off doesn't mean that those waves aren't surrounding us right now. It's just if you don't turn your phone on, you can't see what's going on. So today I'm not going to talk about 5G. I'm going to talk about 3G. And it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Because I believe that that's surrounding you right now. As you sit, you might not even be a believer. That empty seat right next to you could be the Holy Spirit just tapping on your shoulder. Amen. Going, hey, you should listen to Don today. I think I've got some. He's got something for you. He's our advocate, right? That's why he came. Yes. He's our litigator, right? He's our advocate. He helps us get to where we got to get to. So just believe in the Holy Spirit is in this room. I prayed too much. We prayed too much about the Holy Spirit being in here. The worship was amazing. God has come down into this sanctuary. There's no doubt about that. All right, next slide. Okay, this might be a tough one. This was January of 2007. Still an atheist in that picture. Everybody appears to be happy. I wasn't happy. At that time, I was drinking. Eagle Mountain, I worked at Eagle Mountain, right, Mike? It was 40 minutes from Eagle Mountain to my house. That meant 40 ounces of beer. And then I'd go home, and there was a school right next to our house. I'd throw that 40 in the trash can so Karen didn't know I was drinking on the way home. I had all kinds of tricks. Eagle Mountain just told me they were going to let me go because they were selling the golf course, but I couldn't tell the staff. They wrote me a big fat check and said, hey, you can't leave, but if you tell anybody, you don't get the check. So I had to look at the employees of Eagle Mountain that whole year, knowing that they were all going to lose their jobs, that most of them, something was going to happen. Karen and I, our relationship was a wreck. It just wasn't good. I mean, we were destined, you know, I even said this one time, can we just please stay together for Katie? Please, let's just stay together for Katie. Not realizing how wrong that was. And then my son, you know, he was rebellious and he's smiling there, but his mom had just kicked him out. He just moved in with us. And there's never been a tougher time in my life on that because I didn't have the power lifter JC working for me at that time. So that pressure was on me. All right. And, you know, I used to read every management book. I mean, I read Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, because I knew I was in my cave trying to fix stuff up. And I knew the love languages, but I didn't realize that really in the bibliography of every book should be the Bible. And I would soon find out. All right, next slide. So this picture, you may or may not know where this is at. This is my first church, Hamilton High School, right there, baby. That's where I met Pastor Mike. That's when you met with Donnie and I at a Starbucks, Pastor Ryan. And we talked about just coming to church, not expecting much, because I was okay. My son was jacked up. That's the way I looked at it. I'm gonna get Donnie to church to help him. I didn't realize I was the problem. I was the leader. I was his dad. And so that was the first time we went to church. And I'll never forget, we walked in a little bit late, and the worship was going on. I've always had good worship at this church. It's the only church I know, so I don't know if that's a good statement or not, but it's good for me. But they had their hands in the air, and it was just like, what is going on with these people? You don't raise your hand unless you have a question. I mean, what? And there are people bouncing up and down, and Donnie's like, what's going on? And I said, man, I don't know. Maybe it's like a rock concert, and they got their lighter on. I don't get what they're doing. Next week, we're going to come a little bit later because I don't need this. It feels all uncomfortable. I didn't get it. And I will tell you, too, there were some things that started to resonate with me. Some of it was the C.S. Lewis stuff. You don't realize how bad you are until you try to be good. Because I was always better than the bar stool guy next to me. I was always better than them, but I wasn't better than Jesus. But I didn't know because I wasn't searching. You know, and then it was, if you can't say no, then your yes doesn't mean anything. But I figured if Jesus knocked on the door long enough, he would just walk in. Door's open even when it's closed, Jesus. He won't do that. Because you got the ability to say no. It's free will. That resonated with me. And then something that I used to, when I tried to talk people out of their faith, certainly if they were one of those seeds that's on the granite path that starts to grow a little bit, but that can be trampled, almost like when you overseed grass, right? Some of that grass gets on the sidewalk. It's not with all the other grass. It's just, it was overspray. So it's sitting there and there's little teeny blades coming up. Those blades are at risk. They're about to get sprayed out. So you got to say yes. And then the final one was evolution was always something that I always felt like I could conquer somebody with, you know, dinosaurs and come on, ape to man, this is the way it is. Until I read the book, God's Not Dead, great movie. Dr. Rice Brooks, though, that book is a tremendous apologetic book. And what it says in there, he talked to an eye surgeon and he said, we can't figure this out because the eye couldn't evolve. It either worked or it didn't work. Certainly it got better, but you can't pop into existence something like that. It doesn't work with evolution. So it must have been somebody from above that said, we need eyes to see. We need eyes to go outside so that God can show us all the stars in the heaven and say, you don't have a son, but I got sons and daughters waiting for you if you can just believe it. And I'm going to change your name so I can get you there, right? That's what he told Abram. So next slide. You know, Augusta Ranch, there's no doubt. So the marriage is jacked up, right? Sorry, Karen. I mean, we lived through it, right? I mean, that's what, it was not good. It's all me. I'm telling you. I'm the first one who dropped the F-bomb in the relationship. I'll never forget it. You cried? And I was like, yeah, it just felt right. To me, I was an umpire, right? I mean, heck, that's an adjective, adverb, noun, and proverb. I mean, that's what you use. But I was laying in Katie's bed because Karen and Katie slept in the master. Donnie was in his bed. I was sleeping in Katie's room. And I woke up one morning, and man, I felt something. And it was no doubt. It was no booming voice like I thought maybe I'd hear someday. It was just this presence, and it said, Don, I'm going to give you Augusta Ranch. I'm going to give you this golf course, and I want you to do great things with it. I want you to bring families there. I want you to raise money there. I want you to create community. And I kind of pulled myself together, and I went downstairs and got a drink from the fridge, turned on the TV. Should have been on the golf channel. Instead, it was on Joel Osteen. How in the... Yeah, I know, that's another miracle. Should have been on the golf channel. But it was Joel Osteen, and he said, listen, if God puts something in your heart, Teddy, it's going to happen. Don't let a banker, don't let a friend, don't let an expert tell you it's not going to happen. It's going to happen. And I was like, all right. And so then this process of buying Augusta Ranch, I don't know, these coincidental things that seem to be happening, they seem to be happening for a reason. You said, just keep coming, Don. And I felt like I was riding this wave of the Holy Ghost, man. And I was like, I just don't want to get off this surfboard. This is awesome. And things were happening. Even the night before we bought Augusta Ranch, one of the investors came in and he said, we don't have the money. I go, what's that mean? We show up the next day and we just tell him, sorry, you don't have the money. And I'm like, okay. And I never was worried. The next day we showed up, he goes, hey, man, we got the money. And I'm like, never doubt. And I want to tell you one thing that's going to weave in as we talk about this. At that time, I went to a seminar before I was a believer by a guy named Dr. Dennis Deaton. And he talked about visioneering. He talked about setting goals. I mean, it's important to set goals. We know that. He said, you need to take it one more level. And this was more of a secular talk. He wasn't weaving in the Bible at all when I was in that room. And he just said, you know, you have to envision you're going to be sitting at your table, at your desk, and maybe you got keys to a car, and it's a nice car, and there's a picture frame of your family, and you're happily married, and you can see the golf course out there. That's the vision I want. God, I want to own a golf course someday. Wouldn't that be cool? But you got to set that vision. And what he would tell you is that your conscious mind's always grinding on the day-to-day activities. But your subconscious mind is looking to give you solutions to the problems that you're worried about. And that's why we're in the shower or you're driving your car, that name will pop into your head. Or that line to the song or the MVP of the 76 World Series, whatever it might be, will pop into your head. Because as soon as you quiet down, the subconscious mind gives you a little hope. And I'll talk about that later, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't the subconscious mind. Those people outside of this room might think it is, but I know that it's the Holy Spirit. And you got to listen to the Holy Spirit. If right now you got a feeling in your heart, you should text your wife or text your husband or text your son or a friend. I guarantee it's not the devil. The devil's here to separate us, not bring us close together. So anytime you get that fleeting thought, because you'll forget it. As soon as you get a fleeting thought, man, do it right then. Just text somebody, hey, thinking about you. It will change their lives. Next slide. So I got elected. You can't be the secretary, which eventually, 2 years later, I'll be the vice president. 4 years from now, I'll be the president of the PGA of America. It's ridiculous. If you're not a golfer and only 8% of the population plays golf, it's a big deal, right? I mean, there's a bunch of people who could care less. You know, I get to pick the captain of the Ryder Cup team in 4 years. That blows my mind, right? I can't even think of how that works. But until you become district director, you can't be the secretary. And that's kind of on a local level. The Southwest section is all of Arizona, and it's Las Vegas, Clark County, Nevada. And Mike, I forgot to say to everybody who's at home, I'm glad you're listening right now. And by the way, we can tell when you drop off. We know how many visitors are on there. And if there's 35 and it goes to 33, we know it was you. So you stay on the whole time. See, now I got all distracted, man. I was president of the Southwest section and something happened and I resigned. And resigning is quitting, but man, there's hard rights in life and there's easy wrongs. And there were some things that just professionally and personally were going against some stuff, and I had my own ownership of some of that. But when I went to run for district director, there was part of me is like, is this retribution, right? Is this Don's going to show them? He resigned, but now look at Don, dude. Now he's going to be a district director, a board of director of the PGA of America. So I was really concerned about that. And I was like, God, if it's not from you, I don't want it. Right? Believe me, you could pray for all the stuff you want. But if God don't want you to have it, you better run from that. Because it ain't going to be good. You'll be holding on for a long time. I thought I was going to be professional umpire, Teddy. I was holding on to that. God was pulling me away to golf, maybe to this stage. I don't even know, right? But I think that when I ran, I said, God, help me. I don't want it. It's not from you. So the election happens, and I lose by a vote. And I was like, all right, God didn't want me to win. And so as I walked across the stage to thank, you know, and congratulate Jeff Lessig, and some intern runs to the stage and says, time out, man, you won by a vote. And man, I look at that and I know that those 30 seconds were the most important 30 seconds of my life, because I feel that God was like, I know in your heart, Don, you didn't have a lot of pride. There was no retribution. You were okay with losing. So I'm going to give you this victory. And that set me on the stage. Next slide. And so, I mean, the PGA board of directors, it's crazy. I mean, you know, we went to, right, Katie? I mean, it's ridiculous. We went to Paris for the Ryder Cup. We've been all over this globe. I mean, they give you fancy watches, which, by the way, they said, do you want your name on it? I said, no, I want Philippians 4:13 on that, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's why it's right there. I'm going to look at it. So it's such a blessing to be on there. Next slide. Go play golf. About 5-6 years ago, I met a couple that they own this company. They just started it. It wasn't anywhere. You'd never seen it before. And just out of the blue, she's like, I'm going to give you 20% of the company. I said, you got it. I mean, it wasn't worth it much at that time. 20% of maybe $100. And we grew that thing to 40,000 retail locations. You go to Target down the street, you'll see it in there. All God. But then it came to a point where I was going to run for secretary. I can't have these day-to-day activities. If you guys run a business, it's hard running a business. And I'm running Augusta Ranch and the landscape company, trying to be a husband, trying to be a father. I mean, I'm jacked up. I'm like, God, if I'm going to do this, you got to sell this thing. And you got to sell it by November 30th. Sorry to put a timetable on you, God. I know you're not a big fan of my time. But November 30th is where I need you to be. And no joke, we sent it to 45 people. One group said that we'll buy it, and we closed on November 30th for a lot of money. And I needed money, in a sense. I mean, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. I get it. But a campaign's going to cost like $20,000. I'm like, man. So now I start getting into, okay, I got this big check. Do I get to subtract how much the campaign's going to cost? Is this before taxes or after taxes? I'm like, if I'm going to tithe something, when does this tithe happen? Is it gross or net? Because net's a little bit better, not a big of a hit. And that's when, you know, I started thinking about tithing, and I started thinking, really, when tithing is, it's I give you $100. I say, hey, can you make change for $100? Yeah, what do you want, 10s, 20s? I just want 110. You keep the rest. What? Yeah, can you make change for $1,000? Yeah, what do you want? Just give me $100 back. You can keep the $900. I'm making change. God's making change. He's going to make change with that money. People in churches are the ones who bless people in churches. He does it through us because that's a blessing in and of itself, right? That's when you get to enjoy the grace of God and be one of his foot soldiers. So don't look at tithing as, man, I got to give up 10%. Look at, man, thank God for 100, and I'm going to give you 10 just to bless some people. Because I'm telling you right now, even if it's a $20 bill, it's showing that you can be faithful with the little, because it's true. Because believe me, as good as I thought I was with tithing, when all of a sudden it's half of $500,000, you're like, whoa, dude, hold a second. $50,000, God, I mean, come on. That's a lot of money. But it ain't your money. He made change for $500,000 and said, Don, you keep $450,000. All right, so then, you know, Pastor Mike, he's on, next slide, he's an audacious prayer, right? So the first week of January, every year, we always pray and fast for a week, which I highly recommend. It brings worship to another level. Your faith will grow. And he's like, Don, it's going to be the greatest year ever. You're going to win, Secretary. Gus Durant's going to have the best year ever. And I said, I'm with you, brother. Let's go. Hand in hand, band of brothers. And then COVID happened. And it didn't just happen at the worst possible time. It happened at the worst possible time. The last 2 weeks of March is when we make all our money. I mean, it cost us easily $150,000. Two main employees at Augusta Ranch had to be quarantined. I had to work every day for 21 straight days. Hook shifts, right, Craig? Open to close. And man, how am I going to get through this? Katie's like, Dad, you need some AirPods. You can listen to music then. I said, AirPods? What? No wires? How's that work? So I was like, I'm in, man. And I started listening to worship music, one in, out. I learned from Katie, you got to rotate so you don't run out of battery juice. You run them both at the same time. You run your batteries down. So you got to switch. And I just was like, I was all in. And then I started posting on Facebook. When I was driving, I was trying to listen. Right? I told you that subconscious mind, hashtag Holy Ghost. He wants to talk to you, and these scriptures would come up, but the best part would be the people who would comment on them. People were like, Don, I didn't know you believed. Yeah, absolutely. I'm all in. I mean, that was just for me, but I just felt like God was like, just don't even put the scripture on there, Don. Just put the title. Let them Google it. They'll figure it out. I think they did. Next slide. So this COVID thing, it's so terrible, but it's been the greatest thing that's ever happened for golf. And golf's a great sport. It raises more money for charity than all the other sports combined. Combined. That's a fact. But this year, golf has taken to a whole nother level. I mean, it's crazy. Augusta Ranch, Mike, 43,000 rounds a year. This year, we're going to do 51,000. That's pressed down, shaken, overflowing. We're going to easily make $300,000-$400,000 more in revenue. I mean, it's crazy. We got that PPP money, wrote big fat checks to the employees, did it right, wasn't our money, gave it to the employees. And it's just, God, you have to pray with people around you. Get in your small groups. I mean, there's this point of faith to fact, right? I mean, there's no faith in heaven. You're already there. It's a fact he exists. You just saw his face. The faith, you get one opportunity. It's here. It's the only time you get a chance to have faith. So pray with people. Pray in small groups and in large groups with your family. I mean, we're not praying enough as a family. We used to, but, you know, now I'm tired and, you know, I got some Candy Crush to do, or I got to watch TikTok and let the devil into my mind with all those stupid videos. TikTok might be from the devil. I'm just saying. You better get it off your phone, man. X that thing out. Next slide. And so I'm doing pretty good. The campaign's going pretty good. It's Karen's birthday, and it's going to be exciting. Man, my stomach's kind of hurting. It's no big deal. Karen's like, take this. I'll be good. And it's hurting. And then Katie, you know, she wants to be pre-med, so she's Googling stuff. And she's like, hey, Mom, I think it's appendicitis. And Karen's like, you're going to the hospital now. And I said, Mom, what are you talking about? And she said, no, we're going. And we went in. And my appendix didn't explode. It was gangrenous, means it was leaking for who knows how long. And I went in, they said I'd be out the next day, but I didn't get out for 16 days. In the middle of the campaign, I did 14 meetings from that hospital room with the delegates who vote for the secretary. And man, I was worshiping. And I wasn't having the ear pods in. I had my phone on, just playing it. And I'm telling you, God, the Holy Spirit's out there. Nurses would come in, start singing the song that was on. And it's like we all of a sudden we had this connection, right, Don, that, okay, we're believers. And I knew right then that the people who were helping me were believers. It made me feel good. You only get one visitor a day, PM. You know, it was great, Katie, and you guys were taking off the wristbands and putting them back on because you're only supposed to get one. I hope that's not a sin. Is that a sin? Hey, we're sneaking people in, Gowans. We almost had to sneak you in. But we prayed. And you know, Mike, we prayed and we worshiped. He said, by the stripes of Jesus, you're coming out tomorrow, Ray. I'm in. Next day, Don, you ain't leaving. Come on, Jesus. We just prayed. I had the pastor in the room. I mean, how closer to God can I get? And it was 16 more days. But I will tell you, talking about, you know, I had a change in doctors. And the new doctor came in. And she said, listen, I think you're good to go. You're going home tonight. I said, well, I'll just go home tomorrow. No big deal. All right, you're good. The next day, white blood cells spiked. And I was in for 7 more days. So I could have got what I prayed for. And I could have been home. And then the pain would have been there. And I would have ignored it. So sometimes you don't know what's going to go on. You know what I mean? You don't know where your victory is going to come from. But there's no doubt. God's got a reason. Next slide. So this is October 29th. This is the day of the election. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're praying on something, get as many people as you can. I'll tell you, there's something about that. And touch each other, man. Hand, I mean, there's the first time, I remember Karen, you telling me the first time Pastor Mike prayed for you, he put his hand on your shoulder, and you're like, I don't think he touched, I don't know who that was, right? But God's always in there. But if you got more people, you got more power. I truly believe that. We can send a lot of ships to flight, right? So when you're praying for stuff, one, you got to ask for someone to pray with you. You got to ask. Still knocking, got to answer the door. He doesn't walk in. And Pastor Mike, I'm going to tell you, you know, to be in a small church like this, which is getting bigger every day, for Pastor Julie and Pastor Mike to come and take us into the other room right there in front of everybody. I mean, you know, I used to be a person like, well, I'm not going to pray in tongues because there's a bunch of people out here that don't think I'm weird. But man, we were praying. Because why wouldn't we stand on the promises? Why wouldn't we declare victory? Why wouldn't we talk about what we prayed and fasted about in January? And we did. And we prayed. Man, we prayed. And it was powerful. Next slide. So the campaign is a long deal. It's a year. And you're calling people and texting people and emailing people, and it's just exhausting. With COVID, it was even worse. I mean, we called that a war room because it was. But next slide. We got the victory, right? And isn't that amazing that when you have a victory, you raise your hands up. There's something in you that says, dude, I got it. Maybe that's what those people were doing in Hamilton High School when I walked in that first time. And that was a victory, man. It was so exciting. And I wasn't supposed to win because I'm from the West Coast, never win. Small course, never win. And actually, the course, the district that really got me over the top was District 2, which is New Jersey, Philly, and Manhattan. The most private clubs in the nation are basically focused on those three groups. And there was actually a text thread that went out and said, no way Don can win because he can't get District 2. God got District 2. It's his victory. But I'm going to tell you, and this will be the toughest slide, one more slide, is every victory in my life has been mine. Karen was never involved. Katie weren't involved. They could see the plaques. They could see the posts. They could hear my testimony. But this was the first time. They were the founding members of my campaign team. Karen, you might not like that picture, but I love that darn picture. And I think she started texting throughout this whole year, hashtag power couple, hashtag thriving, all the time, just speaking it over me, that we were a couple, we were going to win. And Katie was watching. Your kids are watching you. People are watching you all the time. So, I mean, if you're struggling with your family right now or your marriage, rally around something. That we rallied around this victory. It was going to be our victory. Sometimes that'll cast that vision and get you away from the day-to-day cars that are driving by faster or slower than you. And you'll rally around that and you'll pray about it and you'll become closer. Pick a rallying point. Next slide. So we win. I mean, God is good. It's crazy. It's like I said, to be the president in 4 years. But at the end of the day, I think we're all here for the Great Commission, right? It doesn't have to be talking to a lot of people like this. It's just one-on-one. I find it amazing. It had to be counterintuitive, you know, to say that Jesus is going to leave the 99 and just grab that one. But you got 99, dude. I mean, that's pretty good. I'm going to get that one. Because one can be two, and two could be three, and three could be four. Jesus knows that. So, hey, don't get caught up that you got 99 left. No, you run after that one, and you work as hard as you can to get that one. Because that one's going to make a difference. Next slide. So, you know, hands in the air. I truly believe that through this process, I've just really, through the help of a lot of friends, small groups, pastors, submitted myself to God. Said, you know, it's your victory, man. I'm in. I'm going to pedal. I'm going to set sail. But I know you're taking me to where you want me to take you. And now I think about those antenna. I mean, I told you 3G. Well, maybe 5G is just throwing up your two arms like antenna, right? And so don't feel comfortable. I think when I first started, right, Mike, I was down here. You're like, hey, Don, you're doing all right. I go, all right, I feel like they're pretty high. You got it, Don. But like, if they're antenna, David had to be praying like this. Man, you can't read the psalm and know that he is going, God, I want a victory. His hands are up. His antenna is high. I see you people in the mountains. You know, you got your phone up. Can't get a bar. I got three bars. Okay, I'll make a call real fast. Your Holy Spirit cell phone just needs two antenna. You can throw one if you like. If you want good reception, I'd throw Dos Manos at it. All right, next slide. All right, so you're going to turn your phones back on. You're going to put them on, you know, so you can hear them. And who knows? You're going to get good news, bad news. I don't know what kind of news you're going to get. But you got to have your Holy Spirit phone on. Maybe, you know, like you were saying, Mike, maybe this opens it up. You got an old style flip phone. Boom. I can make a call now. Maybe you got to pull the antenna out like the old days. Katie, you used to have an antenna on the phone. Pulled it up. Put it back in your pocket. Listen, you want more time? Give time to Jesus. You'll get more. If you want more talents, man, there's a parable dedicated to it. Give up your talents, you'll get more. Even take it from a person who wasn't using theirs. That's kind of mean, but that's Jesus. He wants you to use your talents. You want more treasure? Give it up. Make change with Jesus. He's going to give you. He's only going to take $10 out of that $100. I think we got to pray a lot with the family. Next slide. When I talked about that visioneering, this is crazy, but I mean, I put that on my medicine cabinet like 13, 14 years ago. When I first did it, it didn't say in faith because I wasn't a believer yet, but I believed in vision. And I said, you will, Don, you will be a better, and I was looking at it. And then when I got saved, I'm like, nah, man, that's taking Jesus out of it, in faith. And I have no idea why I put become president of the PGA. I mean, this was a long time ago. I can't explain that one, but it was on there. And you know, I got it right now. This is the first time that it's been off the medicine cabinet since the day I put it on. God wants to take you outside and show you the stars. God wants to cast a vision in your house. He wants the Holy Spirit to work on you when you quiet down, and he can give you ideas to get you there. Last slide. Mike, you said I'm over, but you said I had plenty of time this time, so I'm going to read this to you. So, because I put this on my phone right when it started, the campaign a year ago. Do not yield to fear, for I am always near. Never turn your gaze from me, but I am your faithful God. For I am your faithful God. I will infuse you with my strength and help you in every situation. I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand. All who rage against you will be ashamed and disgraced. All who contend with you will perish and disappear. Man, that's the Old Testament God right there talking. That's not even a red because the red's coming. So that's powerful. Well, I'm going to ask you to do something. Because I think we need a lot of antenna in this room. I need you to stand up and put your antenna up. And we're going to pray. I'm going to pray us out of here. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, with our antenna raised high, getting some 5G, HG, we're going to make it happen. Father God, I just thank you for this time. I truly believe there was fertile soil out there, and this seed has been planted. And just like at Augusta Ranch, we plant a seed, and we water that seed, and we wait for the harvest. And that time in between seed and harvest is time, and that's where faith comes in. And Father, we're believing that today, this mustard seed that's been planted today is going to grow into a faith. It's going to grow into families, spending time together and praying together, victories that right now are being cast vision into men's minds and women's minds, and they're going to put up something on their medicine cabinet all around their house, reminding them of the victories of God, the promises set forth in your heart. I truly believe that. Father, there might be somebody in here today who's like, man, how did I end up in this place? Well, you ain't in the wrong place. Matter of fact, if you're running from God, you showed up to the wrong place. Because God is here today. God is here today. And there's a lot of believers in this room that just want to get that one sheep back. Maybe you're that one sheep. I'm believing in that. If that's you, we got our hands up. So you don't even have to be the only guy or only gal with your hands in the air. And we're going to pray. Father God, I repent of my sins. I let you into my heart. I make you my Lord and Savior. It's as simple as that. Father God, thank you for this time. Thanks for blessing me. This wasn't a mistake. This wasn't an accident. It wasn't a coincidence. It was divine appointment. And I believe that. I pray these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.